Friday the 6th of November, Yud Tes Marav Heshvan, Rabbi Ephraim Perlman, Insights into Parshas Vayero.
I wanted to discuss the 4 points. Point number one was, we find in Parshas Vayero the Nisoyon of the Akedah. What was the depth of the Nisoyon of the Akedah? And go into a bit what actually happened. After understanding the depth of the Nisoyon of the Akedah, I'd like to discuss how with that we can understand the inyan of being Soymech Geula LeTefillah that we do every day. We say Goal Yisrael of the Tefillah, and then we start Shemoneh Esrei. Then, after we understand that, maybe we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Nisoyon. If after all HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether we can achieve, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like a teacher in school that needs to give us an exam to understand where the students are up to and what their ability is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our potential, so why give us the test in the first place? Is it just to make life difficult, or perhaps there's more involved in it? And afterwards I'd like to discuss a separate point on the parasha. The Mepharshim tell us that when the Pasuk says, Espincha asher ahavta, the son that you love, Yechidcha, your only son, at that moment, when Hashem said those words, Avram was filled with a huge surge of love for his child. More than the regular love that a father feels for his child, because every word that comes out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be miskayim in the fullest sense of the word. So, at that moment, he loved his child, and he was feeling tremendous emotions for Yitzchak. And then the next words were, and I expect you, Avraham, to take your precious child that you love so much, that you've waited for, and bring him up as a korban HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means that love that he was filled with, he was to take, and as it were, sacrifice that love and subjugate his will for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. I was thinking, it reminds me of a famous story with the Chavetz Chaim, that the Chavetz Chaim had a son who was called Arya Lev, and he wrote parts of the Mishnah Berurah with him, an incredibly gifted child, a brilliant child, and the son was nifta tragically at a young age. I don't think he was married, he didn't have children, and it was a terrible tragedy. And the Chofetz Chaim attended, obviously, the Levaya, and he started to give a hesped. And he said, the Chofetz Chaim said that there was an almona in Radin, who the only thing this almona had was her precious child. And one day that child grew ill and died, and she was crying after the mitzvah by the Levaya. And people listened to what she was whispering under her breath. And she said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until now, I had room in my heart for the love of my child and you. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's only room in my heart for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How great a simple almana, she wasn't a learned woman, how great she became. And the Chofetz Chaim said, all I can say at the Levaya of my child is try and emulate that almana. Reb Chaim Volozhin says, where did Yidden throughout the generations get the kodesh to give up their lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the Holocaust? And generations Yidden have accepted the most difficult trials and tribulations without questioning. That came from our spiritual genes, the Ruchni Yistika genes, and that was from Avraham's willingness to give up everything. All that love he felt when the Torah says Asher Ahavta, and give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'd like to discuss the inyan of being Soymech Geula Tefillah a bit, after understanding the Nisoyon of the Akedah. The Gemara brings the story of Rabbi Roinia, who one day, Lo Posach Chukhe Mipumei Kol Hayoyim, he couldn't stop smiling the whole day. And he was in Amora. And they asked him, why are you smiling? What's the great simcha today? And he said, today I was Soymech Geula LeTefillah. And the question's obvious. every day in the morning, Shacharis, we say Goel Yisrael, and then we start Shemona Esra, and we're saying Gula L'Tfila. And we're not smiling every day. And our Brona Davin Shacharis every day, and just today he was smiling. So obviously there's more depth to being same with Gula L'Tfila than we realize. The Gemara also brings the story of Chizkiyo, who was on his deathbed, despite being a tzaddik, who every child became a boki in Taharas, because he had a sword on the base medrash, and he said that every child expected to know the most difficult halachas, and Chizkiyo had thought about a revolution in Kal Yisrael. And yet he was on his deathbed, and the Navi Yishayo came to him and said to him, Lo Yisrael, you're not going to live because you didn't get married. And he said, of course I didn't get married. I saw through Ruach HaKodesh that I was going to have Menashe Melech Yisrael, who was the most incredible Rasha. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu said to him, Behadeh Kavshet Rachmona Lamalucha, my business is who your children should be. Your business is to get married. And Chizkiyo said, I can't accept that I'm going to be Nifta. I can't accept the Gezerah. I'm going to daven. And we know that he said the tefillah, Hisalachti lefanecha be'emes uvelev sholem va'ayosha va'atoiv osisi. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what does it mean, toiv? Toiv means that I was soymech ge'ula le'tfilah. I always was careful to be soymech ge'ula le'tfilah, to join my ge'ula to tfilah. And the question is, we do that every day. And Chizkiyo's tfilah was answered in that course, because he lived another 22 years, and he had a good life, a healthy life for another 22 years. What was this great chashivus of being soymech ge'ula le'tfilah, of joining Goel Yisrael to tefillah? So, I saw in Reb Shimon Schwab's Pirush on the tefillah, he says something very interesting. He says that, what's ge'ula that we speak about, Hashem redeeming us from Mitzrayim in the Shema, and in the tefillahs after Shema, what is ge'ula? Ge'ula is that we were in Mitzrayim, and we were on a very, very low spiritual madrega. And we were in the depth of the Tumah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, without you deserving it, Isarusa de la'ela, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim. You haven't done anything to deserve it. It's no input from you. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's present to us, without us doing anything to deserve it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. But we haven't yet done anything. We're just being receivers. We hadn't yet been noisner, we hadn't given anything in return. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given us, but what did we give back? Comes along Tefillah Shemona Esra. Tefillah we know is like a korban. The ultimate sacrifice that a yid can make is to bring up a korban. What's a korban? A korban is as if we've been makriv ourselves, we bring an animal to say, Ribono Shel Olam, really we should be on the Mizbeach. And instead, look at it as if we are on the Mizbeach. That's our own input. We don't have korbanos nowadays, but we do have tefillah. And tefillah is instead of a korban. We're supposed to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand, you've done so much for us. We didn't deserve Geulas Mitzrayim. You took us out of the depth of Tumah. Ribono Shel Olam, now it's our turn to join what you did for us. And say, there's not even going to be a hefsek. Now it's our turn to straight away, in return, try to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, I'm standing here, Shemona Esra, I want to give up my life, totally subjugate my rots and my will for your will, and it's as if I've actually given up my life by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if Chas V'Shalom, someone would ever ask us to do it, we would actually do it. So that's what the inner meaning of Goel Yisrael is. The same Akedah that Avraham Avinu was willing to do, to give up his precious child who he loved, we say, we'll give up everything, all our returns, we'll do everything we can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to return the favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you did for us. The next question I'd like to ask, after understanding a bit of the Nesayin of the Akedah, and being so much Geula L'Tfilah, is why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu test Avraham? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the results. So why did Hashem do it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Avraham would succeed in the Akedah. So wouldn't it be more simple just to say, listen, Avraham, I know that you would give up your child for me. So Avraham, enjoy your old age with Sarah. Have a good life. Why test him in the first place? And really we can ask this question to our own lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why does life sometimes have to be a bit challenging? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can succeed. So then why give us the challenge in the first place? So, as Sudha Ramban says, and the Ramban asks this question, the Ramban says that we live in the Olam, in the world of Asiya, of action. There's nothing like transferring potential energy to actual energy. And then we can be rewarded for it. In this world, we all have tremendous potential. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as long as that's potential, you can't be rewarded for it. You have to transfer that potential into actual energy. So rather than Avraham saying, listen, I don't want to be tested, and we don't ask for nisyonos, because we don't know whether we will pass them. This is a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm giving you, Avraham, the chance to transfer all your potential to actual energy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually said, Kach no, please, Avraham, don't shy away from this nisyon. And your descendants, don't shy away from challenges. Because if you succeed, then you've transferred all your potential to actual energy. And then you can be rewarded, and your descendants can be rewarded, and we live on the schusim of that actual succeeding in that nisyon. We live on that schusim today. I was thinking, I saw a beautiful malbim that we can connect to this idea. We know that Yeshua conquered Yericho in a stunning victory, and the walls of Yericho collapsed into themselves, and Yeshua gave a klala on anybody who rebuilds Yericho, because Yericho has to be a sign of the tremendous nace that happened there. In Malachim Aleph, we see that Chiel came along and decided, I'm building Yericho. And he didn't take notice of the klala. When his first child, when the first stage of the building took place, as the foundations came up, he buried his first child. He refused to see Hashem talking to him, Hashem sending him, stop! But sometimes we get so involved in our lives, we don't listen to the message. And he buried one child after the other, until it came to putting on the doors of Yericho, of the walls, the doors of the walls of the city. And he still didn't want to accept that he's being punished. And he put those doors on, and he buried his last child. Chiel was sitting shiva, and Rashi in Melach Malach brings this medrash. Chiel was sitting shiva, and Achav, the Melech Yisrael, who was a Rasha, came to visit him. And Achav, at the same time, as Achav was visiting him, came Eliyahu HaNavi to visit him. And the two, Eliyahu HaNavi was the Navi of the day, and Achav was the king of the day, and Chiel was sitting shiva, and Achav, the Melech, started to speak. And he said, don't worry. Don't worry, Chiel. You think it was the Yad Hashem that made your children die. It wasn't. It was all a chance. It was a mikra, and I can prove it. And he said, I can prove it because it says in the Shema, it says, if we don't do the Rotzon Hashem, then there'll be no rain, and there'll be terrible famine. And if we do the Rotzon Hashem, I'll give you Nosati Eisa V'Sodcha, I'll give you grass in your field, I'll give you Parnosa, and everything will be fine. Said Achav Melech Yisroel, go and look out the window and you'll see it's raining. You'll see the cows are fat and there's lush produce. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is not taking an active interest in our daily lives. And therefore it couldn't be that when you buried your children, it was because of the punishment of Hashem. It was because of a mikra, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved. As you can imagine, Eliyahu HaNavi was sitting there, and Eliyahu HaNavi, if we can just imagine, was not going to take that lightly. And Eliyahu HaNavi got up and he said, Chai Hashem Tzevaos, im yeh mata, from now on there's no rain. And there was a terrible famine, and the pasuk says how even Eliyahu HaNavi suffered from the lack of rain, and there was no panosah. The question is, and the Malbim asked this question, and the Sol Chavetz Chaim asked the same question, what's going on? Achav had a good point. And even when the rain did stop, it wouldn't have stopped. It was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to what Tzadik says. Tzadik goes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. In the special schools of Eliyahu, it stopped the rain. But otherwise, the Parnassah would have carried on flowing. And everybody would have been wealthy, and it would have been good times. And if we look in the history of Achav in those times, they won battle after battle, Klal Yisrael. So the Malbim asks, Achav had a good point. Why was the Psukim in Shema that say if you don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there'll be no rain. Why was it not happening? Why was there rain? And the Malbim says a fascinating chiddush. He says that Klal Yisrael at that time were not deserving of Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I give a punishment when you're going to get the message. But if you're not going to get the message because they were so steeped in Avodah Zarah, and you're not going to learn anyway from the punishment, then why bother punishing you? Let nature take its course. And if it's the right season for rain, let rain fall. Why not? If you're not going to learn from the punishment, then there's no point in giving it. And therefore, they weren't faced with the challenge because they wouldn't rise up to it. Maybe you can say the same thing with a Nisoyan. A Nisoyan is a sign of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Oynish, I mean, Chas v'Shalom, we should never have it, is a sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm close to you. You're the type of person that's going to get the message and improve. Therefore, it's worthwhile giving it to you. I was thinking, in teaching a bit, to give an example, in a classroom, you have the same thing. Unfortunately, it's not a perfect world. And there can be a Talmud who you say to yourself, the Rebbe has to make a shikul hadas. You say to yourself, this Talmud, if I put all my kochos into him, he'll succeed. But at the expense of the rabbin, at the expense of the other 20 boys. If I put my kochos into the rest of the class, this child will be disturbing the class. What can I do? He needs support, he needs extra help, but I can't give it. So what am I supposed to do? So the Rebbe has no choice sometimes, and he says to the Talmud, listen, I ask you to sit at the back of the class. For the meantime, I'll teach you privately, of course, and give you all the love and attention you need. But for now, you can do what you like at the back of the class. You don't disturb me, and I won't disturb you. It's not perfect, but what can you do? There's another Talmud who the Rebbe sees. He's slipping between my fingers. If I force him to look in, he'll look in. But I'll do it. And the Rebbe gives that child a terrible time. Every time his finger's on the place, the Rebbe's there quicker than he is. Where's the place? Where's the place? And the Talmud is in tears at the end of the day. Rebbe, he says to him, why don't you leave me alone? My friends at the back of the class, you don't say a word to. And me, you give me tzaras all day. Every day you're there. Look, point you to the place. Where is it? And if he doesn't have the place, he's staying in break. You give me such a hard time. It's not fair. So the Rebbe says to him, listen, you, Baruch Hashem, your ability is better. And since your ability is better, I feel I can give you and the class can do well at the same time. So I'm going to not let you slip between my fingers. I'm going to make your life hard because I care about you. The other Talmud I also care about, well, what can I do? His ability isn't up to it. He's not up to scratch. So I have to let him stay. So I was thinking, it's the same thing with an Nisoyan. That if we can rise to the challenge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you the Nisoyan. With Yeshua, with Chiel, and with the times of Achav, it wasn't worth giving them a Nisoyan because they wouldn't rise to the challenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not going to rise to the challenge, then leave you at the back. Then I'll let you have an easy time. If you are going to rise to it, then I'll help you. So, I just wanted to end off in the last few minutes with something separate on the parasha, which might have a connection, a bit of a dubious connection, but it's a nice latera all the way, all the same. The pasuk says, at the end of the, with Abimelech got very upset with Avraham. And he said, why did you tell me that Sarah is your sister? Why didn't you tell me the truth that she's your wife? You've given me such problems, we're all ill. Had you told me she's your wife, I wouldn't have left her alone. So Avraham said, Rak ein yiras elokim b'mokam hazeh. There's only no yiras shamayim in this place. The question is that Rebbe Chanan asked a group of Rabbonim in the 1930s. Rebbe Chanan asked, Rak ein yiras elokim? Just say there's no Yerushalayim here. What do you mean, only no Yerushalayim? You can't say only no Yerushalayim. There is no Yerushalayim. Only is a mute. There's everything except for something. What was there? Rabbi Chanan said to the Rabbonim just after the Nazis had risen to power, he said to them, you can have a perfect society with excellent, polite culture and manners. Everything's perfect. Excellent law and order. But if there's no Yerushalayim, then those same laws can turn against us. Avraham said to Abimelech, you've got everything here. Polite, honesty, rak in Yerushalayim. If those laws are not with Yerushalayim, if they're dictated by yourselves, If they're not Torah-based, they're dangerous. And Rabbi Chanan said to the Rabbanim, we see the Nazis have the same law and order. And they use those same laws against us. I saw in Rabbi Yosef a friend, Sefer, on the parasha, he brings a very interesting story that happened that when Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner was learning in Slobodka Yeshiva before the war, and there was a Talmid who went sightseeing to Germany, and he came back from the sightseeing incredibly impressed, and he said, listen my friends, in Germany they have such politeness, I lost my way, and guess what? A German told me the way, and he said, go right, go left, and then he said, is it not so, as if I knew the answer, to be extra polite. So you see that we can learn and introduce these same manners in our society. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, it's wonderful that they've got manners, and of course we can learn things from the Goyim, but we can't be overly impressed, because it's not Torah-based. And they had this discussion, they had this argument. Years later, Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner was in America, after he was a great Rosh Hashiva, and after the war, and he was giving a drosha, and there was an old man at the back of the base medrash, and the old man was listening to the drosha, and he came over to Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, and he said, do you recognize me? And Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, I don't recognize you. He said, I am that bacher who all those years ago, you said you can't learn this politeness, and I said you could. I went sightseeing to Germany. And Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner noticed that he didn't have one hand. And the bacher said, I want you to know, Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, you were right. Because after I was sent to the camps, they were busy sawing off Leilenu, my hand, and at the same time the Nazi was giving me his lovely gentlemanlike smile, and he was saying, Situtvei, it hurts, is it not so? With the same politeness. So one has to realize, Rak Ein B'Mokom Hazeh. I once heard a similar idea for Rav Shimshon Pinchas Zichrono Livracha. He said in a shir of his, he said, the Gemara says that an Am Ha'oret is choshed al Ritzicha. An Am Ha'oret is suspect on Ritzicha. Chas B'Shalom, what does that mean? What's the Gemara mean? A strange Gemara. Just because he hasn't learned Torah, Chas B'Shalom, he's going to murder you. What does that mean? We have to understand all these Gemaras. And Rav Shimshon says, it doesn't mean that the Am Ha'oret will murder you. Chas B'Shalom, you can go in a taxi with a driver who's a Yid and he's an Am Ha'oret. You're not in danger of your life. So what does it mean? So Rav Shimshon said, what it means is that if we were to strip society of all its values, and it was left up to every person to make their own decision, what would the outcome be? For example, he doesn't give this example, I was thinking in a situation of assisted suicide or euthanasia or something like that, where society's morals are not so clear, and it was left up to him to decide, what should we do? Should we save the life? Should we help him die in his old age because he wants to die because he's not having a good quality of life? The society's values, this is a grey area. Now he has to make his own decision. It's not Torah based. Will he come to the right decision? Probably not. Am Ha'oretz Choshed Al Ritzicha. And Rav Shimshon brings his own example of this, which is very interesting. He said that Rav Michal Ber Weissmandel, who was the famous savior of Yidden in the war, was trying to raise money to bribe the Nazis. And he wrote to all sorts of organizations. And they have the records now of the letters that he wrote back, and the letters that he wrote and the replies he got. And in one of those replies, there's a letter from one of these organizations saying, we're sorry we can't give you dollars to help save lives. Why? A whole list of reasons. Firstly, dollars is illegal to bring into Germany. And then at the end it says, and besides that, the poisonous gas that they use is painless. Now had that been said in today's day and age, in any government, they would have shouted him down. What a way to speak, it's a painless gas, therefore we can use it. Said Rav Shimshon, we can't understand that now, because now we have a society with values. But then it was a very, very difficult kufa in our history of Dam Yisrael, Nishpach Kamayim. There was the blood, Yiddish blood that was spilling. And Yidden were getting killed. And society was stripped of all its values. And it was left up to each person to decide what's the correct thing to do, what's not the correct thing to do. When it's left up to society to decide what's right and what's wrong, they can make the wrong decision. That's what Abraham was telling Abimelech. Rak ein yirsa lekivim lachmaseh. It's wonderful that you have good manners, and you have a police force, and you have good values. But I'm scared that if it's left up to you, you'll even be able to say, you'll be able to kill me in order to take my wife. Because you haven't listened to what the Torah tells you about manners. Just to end off, we discussed giving up one's life, subjugating your will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. I saw in Shimon Schwab's discussing this idea, he says a beautiful idea on B'chol Moedecha. The next word in Shema, you should love Hashem with all your might. Chazal tell us, B'chol Moedecha is B'chol Midah, B'midah Shah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moedah B'chol, with all measurements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, with all difficulties and trials and issues, you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then he says, B'chol Moedecha can also mean, what does Moed mean? Ma'idecha means, ma'oi means, it's not good English, but it means with all your very muchness. Because ma'oi means a lot. So you should love Hashem with all your very muchness. And what does that mean, love Hashem with all your very muchness? With all your ma'oi, with all your extras, your ma'oi. So he says that every person has a ma'oi, a talent that only he has. Something that he's gifted with. Some people have a beautiful voice and other people have their own gifts that somebody else doesn't have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only are you supposed to love Hashem when times get hard, b'chol midah midah shah HaKadosh Baruch Hu moideh b'cha, when times are good as well, use those talents to fulfill the rotzon Hashem. Use those talents to benefit others. Mit Hashem v'shtul b'zaycha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us to use our talents, and we should have a good Shabbos. Yeah.